Hey, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. I'm your host, Damon, and today I am very excited to welcome two very special guests. We have Mark and Trisha LaChica. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us. I wish we were video recording because you can see me dancing.
Yeah, I don't know about the video camera.
I always like it when guests are dancing to the intro music. But anyway, for each of our guests, we always start off with the same question. What has God been highlighting to you recently? So, Trish, what has God been teaching you?
Okay, so those of you who know me know I'm an open book. I share a lot. For those that don't know me, get ready because I just blurt out whatever comes to mind. So when you initially asked this, I didn't know what I was going to share, but I'll just go into it. So 2021 was my hardest year yet. I mean, most recent years, just like everybody has had a hard time. Well, I have been, you know, alcohol free for many, many years. And not that I've done any step program. It's just, I just don't drink anymore. And 2021 came in like a wrecking ball. And I had COVID severely. And then it took me till about February to get back to normal. Mm. And then like March came, and I mean, that's a super long story that I won't share, but like I said, I went through the ringer in 2021, and little by little, I just kind of started drinking. And I'm not saying like your margarita on a Friday, you know, like, you know, people just have one to relax. I'm not trying to throw anyone in under the bus, but for me, it was like, you know, let me start with one. And then I'm like, I'm feeling good. And, you know, it's my false comfort. And it's my old friend. You know, I become, you know, I was so stressed and I wasn't turning to God. I actually, you know, even stopped reading my Bible and all this stuff. Right. So long story short, I've been on this journey up until like very recent. Mm-hmm. I want to say March of 2022. And it was like, to the point where I was like, okay, I'm done. I'm not drinking anymore. Mm. And it's funny. And like even eating habits and stuff like that were kind of out the door for 2021. And I just started getting the ball rolling again. And literally the clarity, I'm not saying it's easy because it's that, like I say it jokingly, but I'm not. Like it's like my old friend. Mm. So what God highlighted was like, cut it out. Because he knows I can't just have that one margarita or whatever. I have to have like several. Mm-hmm. And I just need to be completely numbed. And where my comfort in Jesus was for many years, I wasn't going to him anymore. Mm-hmm. And I went to like my old friend, alcohol. And then it just was a snowball effect. And it's not good for me. So I've cut it all out. And I feel like covers have been lifted off my eyes, and yeah, God was like, knock it off. And I was like, yes, God. So here I am. And I feel like I am getting my spunk back, you know? Mm. And I feel like when I was so down, not turning to God, like my spunk had left, but when I drink alcohol, my spunk came back. Mm. And I'm just carefree. But it's so funny because I'm that way too with God, but I just chose to go away from him. Mm. So in this really hard time, if anyone has their false comfort, whatever it may be, TV, alcohol, whatever, you know, God says, cut it out. Anyways, okay.
It's interesting because as you were sharing that, the verse came to mind, you know, where they talk about don't get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Mm. And kind of how the effects are similar, right? And so you're sharing that, you know, your spunk was gone until you had a drink, but your spunk is there when you're filled with the Spirit, right? So It seems like maybe that's why it's in the Bible, because the results could be similar, but one is the healthy way to do it and the other way is unhealthy way.
Ooh, preach. Yeah,
that was good. That was good.
Yes, that was good. Thank you. Now just give me the Bible and the verse and I'll put it on my wall. No, that was good.
And I have to admit too, like, you know, she's not the only guilty one there. And I've been drinking also. But the thing is, it's like, I could sense like this isn't right. Mm-hmm. You know, I could feel it in my spirit that God's telling me like, dude, like you're out of control, you know, like this is too frequent or too often. And, you know, sometimes I feel like, oh, I could just have one and I'll be okay. But then Trish will come and say, oh, make me one.
and another.
and another. And then it's like, okay, you know what? It's better to just not start. So, so like lately it's been really good, you know, to actually not drink, but to experience the peace and enjoy at home, right, with each other.
And not feeling sick the next day.
And not feeling sick or guilty.
Or guilty.
Yeah, because you could feel guilty, right?
Well, you should feel guilty.
You're supposed to.
Yeah. we can go into that too.
But you're not supposed to hang on to that.
No. You feel guilt because God put that in us. You repent and you change your behavior and then you let go of the guilt.
There's a process.
There's a process.
But you can't hang on to it. Mm-mm. So you just have to move on. Correct. And go back to your relationship with the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Whoa, we didn't know we were going to preach today.
I know. I was like, oh, Woo. You guys are the ones preaching the message today.
That's good.
Must be because it's a Sunday.
That's right. That's right.
So, Mark, has God been highlighting anything to you recently, too?
You know, for me lately, it's really been a lot about my kids, my children. I have we have three boys. How old are they? 17,
15,
and nine. Almost 10. So, you know, lately, when you look at what's happening around us with culture and everything, you know, it's been really great with the biblical worldview classes that we're having and series that we're having at church. But it really opens my eyes to all the things that are happening around us. And a lot of that culture is being pushed upon our kids. So for me lately, it's really been about, you know, my relationship with my kids and how do I nurture a godly relationship with them. But also just to equip them to become adults, and how to live in this society with all these things coming at them, all this confusion and things like that when Bible brings the truth. So just to kind of walk with God and how I'm supposed to lead them. You know, my oldest, he has a girlfriend now, and that's like, that's...
Mark is like having a hard time, and I'm not. It's weird.
That is weird.
It's weird.
You wouldn't have expected it that way.
No.
But, you know, I'm not against it at all. It's normal. It's natural. But for me, it's just like, how do I lead him in the way of being, you know, a young Christian man, right? And how what the relationship means and all that stuff. And it's just like, whoa, I better start reading. I better start reading the Bible. And, like, you know, we've had great conversations through it, you know, but... so really it's just been about equipping my kids for their future because, I'm not going to be around for them all the time, you know, forever, you know, they need to be able to have that relationship with Christ and lean on him, when I'm not around.
That's awesome. So it's neat too, because I feel like God has been tying a lot of things together. So, we are in a season of biblical worldview at our church, like Mark was talking about. And so the reason that I brought Mark and Trish on today is because we're going to be talking a little bit about God's aligning their marriage to be more like what he calls for in the Bible. And so it's interesting the journey that this has gone on because it kind of all stemmed from, well, we were at Brett and Brittany Harada's wedding. Shout out to them.
Woohoo!
So we were all sitting down and I was talking to Trish about some of the things that God had been doing in her as a mom. And it was neat because I felt like God highlighted, maybe you should have Trish come on and talk about what he's been doing in her as a mom for Mother's Day. And I was like, oh, that would be great. That would be cool. So I approached her and she said, yeah. And then I thought, well, maybe I should have Mark come on and talk about what God's been doing in him as a father. Kind of like he shared, that was some of the stuff that he'd been talking to me about recently is just the ways that God has been leading him as a father. And then I felt like, hey, if they're going to come in and talk about motherhood and fatherhood, it's been neat for me to be able to walk with them in their journey and how God's been aligning their marriage. So all that came together, asked them to come on. They were open to all both coming on twice each. But it's neat how God's tying things together too, because, you know, recently we just had Kyle come on, talk about biblical manhood. And then Mimo came on and talked a little bit about biblical womanhood. And so it's cool because we talk about biblical manhood, biblical womanhood. Now we're talking about biblical marriage and then biblical mothers and biblical fathers. So it's neat how God kind of pulled everything together. And it was just us talking at Brett and Brittany's wedding. So that's enough of me talking.
No, I was like, that's good.
So I wanted you guys to have a chance to share about what God's been doing in your marriage and how God's been aligning everything and putting it all together. And for me, it was neat because was in a small group with Mark, and he'd been sharing some of the things that God had been doing in him as a husband. And so maybe we should start with you, Mark. how's God been aligning your marriage?
Man, so it's like, where do we start?
It's going to be a 2-hour podcast.
Yeah,
so
we got time for
up.
That. How many part series is this? Because, man, I mean, we got married many years ago.
Mm-hmm. Almost 19.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I knew you'd fill in for me. It was rough in the beginning. It was really rough in the beginning. And I would struggle, and I'd be like, man, how come it's like this? This isn't fun. This isn't what I thought marriage was going to be like. You know, and
whatever. Now we're gonna need therapy after this. No,
wait a minute. He said for me to share.
Okay, sorry.
Okay.
I mean, to me, it was fun because Trish would always talk about how you guys like physically fight.
Oh, that was fun though.
And I thought that was kind of fun.
No, that was fun.
Or like when Trish would like dump water on you in the shower and stuff.
Yeah. Okay, but that's fun. What are you talking about? Yeah. I had anger issues, though, besides the fun times.
But there was probably some maliciousness a little bit in there, you know? With the
right?
But it's that okay. Was it was fun. It was fun. But, yeah, I mean, our relationship was rough. And I began to pray about it and ask God, like, geez, how come it's like this? And like, how can we make it better? Like, what do I need to do? And ultimately, you know, at one point he said something to me very specific in praying about it. And he said, you need to love her the way that I love you. Mm. And that has been very impactful for me. And when he said that, though, it was like, well, what does that mean? You know? And so I had to spend a lot of time and reflecting and connecting with God myself to figure out how he loved me and how he, you know, cares for me and wants the best for me. So, you know, and praying about it, I began to see Trish actually for the circumstances that she went through versus who she was. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I began to understand why she would react in certain ways and see the reasons why she would respond in certain ways. And then, it was through prayer and like surrendering what I wanted to do and how I responded, and I would ask him, what do I need to say? What do I need to do? Or what do I need to not say? Because there's times where it's like, I want to feel just. I want to feel like I'm right, mm-hmm. you know? But a lot of what God asked me to do was just to surrender what I wanted to do mm-hmm. For the sake of her, to ultimately like bring her to Christ, mm-hmm. you know? And I think that's what God was doing was he was like manifesting himself through me, mm-hmm. to bring her closer to Christ. But in the end, he actually brought all three of us mm-hmm. together.
You're leaving a key part out. That is that you didn't tell me any of this.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know that you were, what you were talking to God with. Like, I didn't know that you were changing and looking at me. Like, I didn't know anything that God talked to you. But I think that's key because, like, you want your partner to know. Like, look, I'm going to start doing this. I don't know. Like, for me, like, I would want to say that out loud. But, like, you bit your tongue, didn't tell me, but your behavior never faltered.
Faltered, I think.
Faltered. I was going to say alter and faulted. So, like, there you go. Altered. Like, you never, like, wavered from whatever God told you. And I'm telling you, because the listeners, like, we're just telling this story in 5 minutes. But literally from when God said to love me the way he loves me, like, wait, I said that wrong. But anyways, was actually years. Mm. So, Mark literally changed kind of instant. I mean, he's human, so yeah, you are not sinless in this story, but
yeah,
let me just clarify that, y'all, it wasn't just me in this marriage that was bad, but you did change, but you stayed changed for over a year. Like, it took that long. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even notice it, but deep down, I was starting to change. And then over like a year and a half or something, it's like he stayed true to it, because honestly, it's like God has, he knows when like things are going to happen, mm-hmm. but it takes discipline and obedience. So God told him something and he stuck with it. And it, I mean, literally, oh my gosh, my words come out like on purpose, like a knife. Mm-hmm. Like I will stab you 20 times and you're going to feel this pain.
And that's why, folks, I didn't tell her what God said, because she would have used it against me.
No, yeah, and yeah, all, because and all, when honestly, you faltered or yeah, whatever.
Right.
So, yeah. So, but it that's key, because I didn't know.
Right.
And that, and I think like as whatever God tells you is right, but me not knowing helped the situation. But it, I mean, I could not imagine getting stabbed and not trying to stab back for a year and a half. Like, that's crazy to me. That's like, that's some willpower, you know?
So. Yeah, it was scary.
I'm pretty violent. So, I mean, I never really stabbed him, but I'm just saying, like, I mean, words hurt. Mm-hmm. And I mean, like, I'm just going to give an example. And, you know, we had good times, because it was like the first 10 years of our marriage was crap, but not every day was crap, mm-hmm. if that makes right. sense. Sorry, I don't know if I could say that word on here, but I won't use it again. And so I think like the ups and downs of 10 years, you know, like I remember, I think I had like, I didn't realize, but like even postpartum and, mm-hmm. you know, after having babies and I had no help, my parents lived far. I was stay-at-home mom. I felt like I was drowning on top of that, you know. I had all my childhood issues. I needed major inner healing. So I had so much going on. And he was the fall guy or whatever. Like, he took the brunt of everything. Mm-hmm. So I joke and say, you know, he's not innocent in the story. But at the same time, I know what I inflicted on him. Mm-hmm. You know, there were times where, like, I would always threaten, like, I'm taking Christian and I'm leaving, mm-hmm. because my parents live far. And I'm a stay-at-home mom. Like, I don't have a job, right? So I'd be like, I'm taking it and I'm leaving. And then, like, you know, he would, like, physically, like, hold me down. Not in, like, nonviolent way. And he would be like, don't leave me, you know, like almost like crying, and more tears fueled my not anger, but like, yes, I'm getting to him. It was like a demon. I was like probably demon possessed. And so Mark's nodding. Mark's nodding. No, it is true, because then I remember specifically you were holding me down on the bed, because I was like, I'm packing him up and I'm leaving, and you held me down on the bed, and then it's like I became calm and I looked you dead in the face, and I was like, because you had work the next day, you can't just leave, and I looked at you and I was like, I will leave in the morning when you're gone, like evil, and he just wept. And then I was like, I was happy over that. Mm. And like, so I wanted to tell those stories, because this is the marriage we had the first 10 years. It was.
But like she said, every day wasn't like that.
Yeah, it was so, not like that every
right,
day.
Right. And like there were good times. But I think too, I think a good point is, I think once you see what it's like to have a marriage where God is present, mm-hmm. in the order that it's supposed to be, like, you don't want to go back. And looking back from what it was before, it's completely different.
Oh, and we were Christians. Doing air quotes, guys. We were Christians during this time.
Right.
We were going to church. And I'm not saying, like, I mean, this is broken people need to be at church. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that, like, to say, like, oh, like, I don't know. But I'm just saying, broken people need to be at church. Mm-hmm. And that's what got us to the place where we're at now. Church doesn't need the perfect Christians. Mm-hmm. Like we need people alongside us, and we need to be hearing the word. And even though we were so broken for like the first 10 years, we were still going to church, you know, trying to be involved. But those are our life at home, like crazy.
But that's the thing, right? It's even kind of like what Lauren was sharing today. It's like, as Christians, it's about that relationship with Christ.
Yeah, I do.
You know,
yeah.
As Christians, we don't just go to church on Sunday and then we're something different every other day of the week.
And mm-hmm. we were.
But we were.
Yeah, we were.
And that's why we didn't experience the marriage yeah. that God designed. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyways, okay.
So Mark, what made you continue to, or, you know, so kind of hearing this, a lot of people would have given up. So what do you feel like helped you to continue to pursue her, continue to love her in spite of some of these things that were coming?
I think you should tell the story about your mom and dad.
Oh.
Like, honestly, because I think God, but
yeah,
I think your example growing up.
Right, right.
Made you stick it out.
Yeah, so I'm the youngest of six. My oldest sister is 20 years older than I. But my dad, he was the only one who worked. My mom stayed at home. My mom suffered from mental illness. So she was very isolated. She wouldn't go out. She would just stay home. And you know, my dad would work 5-6 days a week, sometimes long hours. He'd come home, he'd cook dinner, he'd work on the yard, he'd clean the pool, and then he'd come sit on the couch and he's like passing out. But I could see at the end of the day still, my mom's sitting right next to him and my dad's rubbing her back. Mm-hmm. You know, just serving her and showing her love because she wanted her back rubbed. Mm-hmm. Or she wanted her feet rubbed, you know. And I saw how busy my dad was and all the responsibilities that he had. And I saw the challenges that he had in a relationship with my mom and what she carried. Mm-hmm. And the challenges that she had in herself. So, but I saw my dad love her through that, you know, it was something that was just displayed to me every day. Mm-hmm. You know, they never divorced, they never split up. So it's something that I lived with. It was an example that I saw every day, just to see him serve her all the time, no matter how tired he was. And for me, it was like, that's the thing is I don't want my kids either to grow up in a broken home, mm-hmm. you know? And I know ultimately, you know, marriage isn't easy. It takes a lot of hard work. Right. But in the beginning, in those times after God called me to love her the way that, that God loves me, I began to see fruit, mm-hmm. and I began to see change. And once I started to experience that, it was like, oh man, this listening to God thing works, right? Like, who would have thought, you know, who would have thought? So like the more I did that, things got better and better and better. So
like with me though, right? Like,
yeah, oh, right.
Okay. I just want to make sure that you're talking about me.
Yes.
I want the listeners to really know that the fruit was coming from me, right? I was changing.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not being vain. I just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah. Trish brought the fruit. No.
No, so you went to the supermarket and you picked up the fruit and you brought it to him.
Here's some fruit.
You started peeling the grapes and feeding it to him.
I was like, here. I was feeding you instead of chucking the pineapple at your head.
So like one thing though is I remember hearing, you know, if you don't feel like, if you don't feel love with your spouse, well, you need to love them. Hmm. You know, love is really a choice. It's not just an emotion or a feeling, but it starts with a choice, the mm-hmm. verb love. So I had to choose to love her the way that God loved me. And as I did that, I got to see her transformation. I got to see her heal. Mm-hmm. I got to see God work in her life. And to see that is actually what brought me joy, because I see her relationship with Christ grow, but then my relationship with Trish exponentially got better. Mm-hmm. You know, and then it's like my life's easier. Less threatening.
I will still cut you. I'm
sorry. But this time you're laughing after. Before you weren't laughing.
I was like, I was serious. I was like, homie.
Like, this be a long ride home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I had a lot of issues, but yeah. Anyways.
Yeah. So it's neat. Mark, hearing your side of the story about how God was calling you to take the lead, and it wasn't like, oh, Trish needs to love me better. It was, you know, you, Mark, as the leader of your household, need to receive my love and then give that to her. So Trish, and as Mark was sharing, you were changing, and what do you think was going on within you at that time? And you know, maybe we could talk a little bit about the dreaded S word, submission.
Submission.
Because I know you shared that with me before, that was part of the journey too.
Yeah. So before the S word, it was really frustrating in the beginning because, like, it's like when you're so evil and you want to hurt someone and they fight back, it's like you don't want them to fight back. But then when they stop fighting back, you're like, you kind of want to go a few rounds. Like, it was kind of like, it actually made me more mad. Like, because he wouldn't. Because before, I think after so many years, he was tired of being the punching bag. So then he would punch back, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, figuratively. And then, so then once I started seeing him change without like connecting the dots. And so then it became like annoying because now I'm just giving and he's not like receiving, where before it's like I wanted that, you know, but
I tell that to my kids all the time. Like, if you just ignore them, yeah.
No, it's true. So that's
they like it that you're getting upset. That's what they're trying to get. They're trying to make you upset right now.
Yeah. So that happens in marriage.
Yeah. And we were just trying to figure out where we're going to eat for lunch.
Stop. So I was getting annoyed and then he just never changed. Like, not, I mean, this was many years ago, but I feel like I don't remember a time where he fought back. Like that's what I'm saying. He was so consistent with his, or he would try to start hugging me. And maybe it happened to, like, I was full of anger still, so I would, like, physically push him away or whatever, you know? Because it's, like, when you're in that spot, like, when you're, like, I mean, that could be a whole other podcast. Like, my childhood upbringing, my traumas, everything, like, I'm so mad, and then you're trying to show me love, like someone that can't fully be loved. That's how I felt. And then I'm mad at you, but you're trying to like hug me and show affection. I was like, I'm going to punch you. So he just stayed consistent for almost 2 years. I want to say, I could be wrong, but so within those 2 years, it was just that beautiful, like, pruning and grooming and God was doing that. He, Mark, was obedient and disciplining, which then God took care of the rest. And he took care of me without him having to even like do anything or tell me anything. And so I think that's the beauty of the whole thing, is because it's like obedient and discipline equals an orchard full of oranges. I don't know. Anyway, so I started seeing him change. And like he said, I started to like loosen up, like not be so angry all the time. And it wasn't just for saying, I was like, oh my God, I was a mess of a mom. You know, I was just all over the place, just one big old mess. And so like, I just felt like I started like, even if I was in a bad place, I would still communicate with God, where before I wouldn't. You know, I just blocked him out. I didn't want to pray. I didn't want to do anything. And then it was just like weird. I just like continued more with him, with God. And so, and then I want to say Christian was like in sixth grade, which I don't even know. He's in 11th grade now. I can't do the math. But how many years ago? We were seriously thinking about moving to Colorado. And our boys, Christian and Josh, were like, no, we don't want to move. But I was like, back then, I was like, I'm done with California. But with them.
But the weather.
Hey, that's an inside joke. So between the boys saying no, and seriously, I'm not even joking, this is 1,000% true. Catalyst. Christian community was like a close number two, like it was almost number huge. One to us not moving. But in the midst of like this tug of war of like, we're asking God, do we move? And is this the right choice and all this stuff? We had a retreat, and I don't know what year that was, but we had a retreat, and I remember it was going all in. So how many years ago was that? Do you remember that retreat, Damon?
That was probably 5 years ago.
Yeah, 5, 6 years ago.
But during that retreat, going all in, I was maybe at an altar call or something, and I was like, do we move? You know, like when you just have a big decision to make and you're constantly in prayer and you're like, I want an answer. Oh, you know, the answer God gave me was like, you need to submit to your husband. And I was like, what? That's my answer? You know, and God's perfect timing. See how he orchestrated everything perfectly. Mark changed. Our marriage started, you know, blossoming and changing, and I make the decision to go all in, and God's like, I got her, in a good way. And he's like, submit. But that's a bad word in the world. Mm-hmm. Like, to submit is like, especially I'm half Mexican. And so, like, I grew up like my grandma and my grandpa and stuff. Like, when she made it, my grandpa sat there and watched her cook, you know, like he never helped and all this stuff. Right. So it's like, and then when the food's done, nobody eats until the man eats. So it's just like all these things that used to annoy me equaled like.
I thought you were going to go with the Lucha Libre submission time.
These are the Lord's chips. So like, I think a lot of like these child, like where that could be interpreted beautifully. Like, you know, like if I have a different pair of goggles on, mm-hmm. and I see my love, the love that my grandma put into the cooking, and you know, she served him first, and he was never cocky or, you know, woman, you know, mm-hmm. type of thing. It was just that, but it bothered me, and it's probably the world's view, and you know, feminists, and you know, like, get up and serve yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, you have two hands and two feet. So I looked at it as that. So that, and then it's just like, no one's gonna be the boss over me. You know, so you just have this, like, I don't know. That's just my crazy explanation of why I was like, I'm not going to submit. Mm-hmm. And then also, it's like, I also knew scripture, like, well, you're the head of the house. Like, you know, you're supposed to be living a certain way. And we were not, like we said earlier, we were not living a certain way as God's alignment. And so I just never felt the need to submit. But when he said that, he also revealed to me that he is the head of the household and everything is on his shoulders. Mm. And when I submit to him, he has to answer to God. Mm. Like, he is the one to answer to God. And I was like, oh my gosh. Thank you. I was so grateful. Like, I don't have to. Mm. God made women in the, like, it's so perfect. Men and women are so different on purpose. God is a genius. Just in case you guys didn't know. And so he just made us so perfectly where, you know, you bring this to the table and I bring this to the table, you know, like women and men. And so he put that responsibility on him and he revealed it to me. So he didn't just say like, you have to submit under Mark, right? He was like, you know what? You tell him, I trust you with this decision to move to Colorado or not. Mm. And I'm like, whoa. And it wasn't a struggle. It was like, yes, I will get, like, that is hard trust. But like I said, he had changed for almost 2 years. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I actually happily gave that decision over to him. And I told you, right, at that mm-hmm. retreat that God was like to submit under him. Mm-hmm. And like I say, he told me one day, but if you listen to, you know, if you remember everything that we've said, it's been a process.
Yeah.
So at that moment, he knew to tell me to submit, and it was easily done because he had already changed for almost 2 years. I saw the improvements and everything, and I was like, oh, yes, I will. I don't want that. Like, you go on because you have a big responsibility. I'm laughing, but that's just the truth. Like, women, God gave us that ability to not have that on our shoulders. Mm-hmm. That's for our husbands. Mm-hmm. And we have to trust. And if he messes up.
Equally.
Good, like, ouch, you know? So, yeah, that's my submit story.
Yeah, so it's neat to see part of your journey, how God led you first, Mark, to say, you know, love Trish the way that I love you. So he had you take the lead and do that. And then when you were in that place and Trish started to see it and it had been consistent for a long period of time, then God said, Trish, it's time for you to come in alignment and submit to him. And it wasn't as hard as it seemed before.
No.
And then, so can you guys share a little bit more about, you know, where things are at now? Like, is submission still a bad word and things like that?
No. I mean, from that day, 5 years ago, even when he said it, it wasn't even like a bad word. Mm. Like, it was like, yes, like it made sense. Mm. Like, and it's hard for someone, like, for me to explain it to someone else that's in that spot, mm-hmm. like where they don't want to give up the submission and submission is a bad word and all this stuff. Like, it's even hard for me to talk to that person right now because it's such a beautiful alignment, like what God created, that I'm like, bah, 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 you know, want to smack them. Like, no, girl, God gave us this. Like, you submit to your husband. Mm. This is a beautiful thing, you know? So for us now, like, it is so rare for us to get in like arguments that when we do, it's like weird. Like, I don't even, and then it was like, just like a, we got into a big blowout recently and it was something about like, I'm embarrassed. Like, to go to heaven. It was just like this discussion about going to heaven. It was such a blowout argument because we pretty much agree on everything in life, like any direction we pretty much align with. And we started talking about heaven and I won't go into it, but we had different views and I was like, what? And then he started getting offended. Like, I was like pointing the finger at him and it just went in this crazy direction. Like, I literally slept on the couch. I was so mad and I was like laying there and I was like, this is weird. We do not fight like that anymore. So it's actually nice because it's so foreign. Mm. So if we do fight, and before that, I can't even remember.
It took a long time to get to this place.
We're going to be married 19 years.
Yeah.
So I love that when we fight, it's foreign. And I tell people another concept that God created beautifully, the alignment is, if individually and you're married with kids, you know, it's God first, then your spouse, then your kids. Mm-hmm. And that's a hard thing to grasp because it's not saying that I love my kids less, mm-hmm. you know, than Mark or whatever, but it's just the alignment and our busyness or whatever. Sometimes it gets out of alignment or, you know, you do want to put your kids first because they like came from you, you know, and your husband is like, you're like, get out of here. You know, this kid is half of me, but you have to like make sure, you know, my husband needs to come first, you know, like the Mexicans, like I'll serve you. And you're Filipino, but I'll be like, here's your food. And then like funny, cause you'll sit, I'm just remembering
what?
When I cook dinner, you're sitting at the breakfast nook looking at me.
Yeah, it's because I'm tired.
And when dinner's ready, I serve you. Oh my God, I'm my grandma.
Yeah, but you're irritated when you do it sometimes.
I know. I say something and I say it wrong, but I'm like something about.
Yeah.
Ghetto go man. I don't know.
You can't serve yourself?
Yeah. I'll make little comments because it's like, wow, it must be nice to just sit there and I like throw
but
the plate
at you.
But
we could laugh about it.
No, we're laughing about it.
Like
no.
10 years ago. It would have been a little more edgy. You have to hide the utensils.
Okay, go ahead, Mark.
You just kind of like threw me out there.
Sorry.
So she was talking about like submission and, you know, for my side, it's hard, right? Because it's like, I can't demand that. Mm-hmm. God doesn't demand submission from me. You know, it's like, he gives us that free will. Mm-hmm. So I have to give her that free will too, right? And then also too, like in the Bible, it talks about how when husband and wife become one, it's like the greatest mystery. And it's weird. It is like a true mystery. But then when we feel like we're one, it's like we just have God's covering in his favor. Mm-hmm. And like you could totally feel it. And like that doesn't necessarily mean like things are going to be easy. Mm-hmm. But then there's peace. Mm-hmm. You know, in the midst of drama or troubles or like struggles or anything like that, mm-hmm. it's like our marriage, our home, everything is still has peace. Mm-hmm. There's still that covering of peace or comfort knowing that it's going to be okay, even if we don't know what's going to happen, mm-hmm. right? But that's the thing, you know, when we operate under that order that that Paul talks about in the Bible, it's like we have his covering over us. Mm-hmm. And then when we get out of that order, that's like why we had the relationship that we had before, mm-hmm. is because we weren't in that order that God calls us to be under.
Yeah. And then I immediately went and sought treatment and inner healing. And I went far away for that. I went to Tennessee and did all that, and then continued with our deliverance team and having PMIs, right?
PMTs.
I was like, I combined the two, huh? PMTs and a few deliverances. Like, I continue. So it's mm-hmm. going to be a forever thing. But literally, it was like a domino effect in the best way, mm-hmm. because then our kids, our family relationship as the five of us, you know, just like you said, we still struggle. We still, you know, we live in this world. Mm-hmm. So we have hardships, but it's just a different way that our family can come connected, or we have conversations and discipline. Like, you know, we have to discipline our kids, but it's in a different way. Mm-hmm. And just our family as a unit is in this world, so we are affected by this world, but we just can come at it in a godly way.
So I think real quick, you brought up how you went to that major inner healing thing, and that was like very early on in the restoration of our marriage. And we're talking about order and everything, right? So like my relationship with Christ should be first above anything else. And then same thing for Trish, her relationship with Christ should be first above anything else. And then it's each other. But in the beginning of our marriage, I noticed like she wouldn't pray, very much or at all, really. So like, she was feeling like she had to go to this, this healing, therapy session thing in like Tennessee. And it was like a huge, huge decision for her. But what God prompted me to do was to ask her to pray about it and to leave that trust with her, to talk to God. And that was like also a big stepping stone for her, because it created that relationship, that also that discipline to talk to God, mm-hmm. for these decisions. And that was like how she started like involving the Holy Spirit then in all of her decision-making. So I think that was like a big thing that I think is worth pointing out, because that was also like a very pivotal part,
yeah.
in your change.
Yeah, so it's again, this is so cool to me, because I feel like just seeing God's order and God's alignment and how you guys have been stepping into that, it's like Mark saw that, stepped into his role as a man first, and then as a husband, and then Trish stepped into her role as a woman, and then as a wife, and then how that alignment, as God was aligning you guys up, then now he's lining up your whole family, yep. too. It's not just you guys, but now your kids are starting to receive that. And so Christian should be in a good place with his girlfriend, hopefully. Yes. Hopefully, yes. If he's watching you guys the way that you Mark, watched your parents, you know, and yeah. hopefully he'll be able to see some of those things and take that into the relationships that yeah. he has moving forward. Well, we are running out of time, but one thing that I felt prompted this morning is that I really wanted you guys to pray for marriages and pray for relationships, because you know, the enemy is attacking the family right now in our world today. And I feel like we could use as much encouragement, prayer as we can get. So if you guys could close out our time with some prayer, and yeah. that would
okay.
be awesome.
Okay. I'll go first.
Okay.
Ladies first. I'm just kidding.
Go ahead.
Father, thank you so much for this time. Thank you for our testimony and everything that you've done in our marriage, and that right now I just specifically want to lift up the women, in that their covering over their eyes that the enemy has put, that they will be lifted and that they will feel the comfort and peace over the word submission, and that you will just touch them the way you touched me, and that it wasn't a struggle and it was actually beautiful and such a weight lifted off my shoulder that they will feel the same way, Father, and that they just will have that intimate little moment with you, and that they too will feel that way, and that nothing that this world tries to tell them otherwise, that they will know that that's a lie from the enemy, and that submitting to our husbands is actually such a beautiful thing, and that your hand will just be over their heart, and that they will feel protected by you, Father, and that if we, you know, we're born with this hole in our heart that sometimes we try to fill with just things, but mostly, you know, we try to make our husbands fulfill this thing that only you can fulfill, Father. And so right now I just ask for that hole that is in their hearts, that they will feel your love, and that you're the only one that is created to fill that void, and that they will just feel so comforted and loved, and that they will know that they are they deserve to be loved, Father.
Father God, yes, just thank you so much for this time, Lord. And I just pray a special covering over the marriages that are listening to this, Lord, and the marriages that may become after this. I especially do want to lift up the men, Lord, and I pray that you speak to them, that you whisper in their ear, Lord, that they can receive the love, the grace, the identity, also the authority, the godly authority that you give to them, Lord, as they receive and know you. And I just pray that you break any chains that hinder them from receiving your love, Lord. I pray that that the men just know that it's okay to submit as well, to submit to you, God. It's okay to say that I can't. It's okay to say that I'm not able to, or I don't know how to. Because, Lord, if we turn to you, we know that you can. If you're struggling in a rough marriage, I just pray, Lord, that you speak to the men, that you guide them and lead them in a way that displays love and servant love to their spouse. And we just lift up all this to you, Lord, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
That was awesome. Well, thanks, guys. I had a lot of fun on this one. Thanks for coming, sharing your time with us.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Well, we're going to have you guys back on again soon. So until then, thanks for listening to the Engage to Flourish podcast. Thanks for listening to the Engage to Flourish podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts. You can check out more of our content on our YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook pages by searching for Catalyst Christian Community. If you want to check out our church in person, we meet every Sunday at 10 a.m. at Stanford Middle School in Long Beach. We'd love for you to come out and experience being a part of our church family.